We've listened to the Elder Davis as he was talking about being in the presence of God or being in the throne room. And it's just overwhelming that they described it so vividly, the lights and the preciousness of the stones and everything. And John isn't the only one that got a peek at the throne. Isaiah chapter 6. He had a look at the throne, and it reads as follows. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting up on a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And it stood, and above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings, and with twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Then in verse 4, and the post of the door was moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. I don't know what it is that when we come to worship, do we get that sense of feeling? Shall we pray? Gracious Father in heaven, we just want to invite your spirit to be with us this morning as we peek into the throne and observe the worship that's going on there and compare it to what we're doing here. Again, we just thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Many times we come to church and never, ever give it a thought that we even approaching God. We just come, we sit, we sing, we go back home, and that's it. And just never get it right. And here we are looking at the throne here, and they're so attentive. And let's look at what John was seeing there. And I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as of a trumpet, which I had heard were a trumpet that talked with me. And as you go at chapter 1 of Revelation, that trumpet was Christ. And here we find that Christ here is talking or is introducing him to what should come, what should come. And then next he noticed the Father and how he looks. And there's some words here that describe him as splendor and glory surrounding God. Paul described God telling him that with an unapproachable light. Unapproachable light. You just can't quite get there because it's just so overwhelming. And then John says, a dazzling glow of precious stones. Is that what we see when we come to worship? And next, he noticed the Holy Spirit. And this here is talking about these seven torches. And the number seven is the completeness or the wholeness of God. Matter of fact, the first seven that he was talking about, the 7 days of creation, and what he did on the seventh day, that he rested from all that he was doing. And next he noticed that there are 24 other thrones around the throne of God. And it says there's 24 elders, but not necessarily are they, they're not angels, per se. The 24 elders, you have to go back to Matthew 27, when Christ rose. And it mentions there at Matthew 27, verses 52 and 53. And the graves were open, and many rose and came even into town. We don't know exactly how many it really was. Now, the 12 and 12, the 24, that you might look at the 12 apostles, the 12 tribes, 12 gates to the city, the 12 foundations, and it's all totaling the 24 of those that these are the redeemed that were the first fruit that Jesus took back to his Father. And these were people that were died, maybe some in the Old Testament, and some as well as in the New Testament, were there around the throne. Those people that actually lived here on earth are right now in heaven. And they have thrones in the throne room. And that's where they are. They participate there. The four living beasts, and they said they had different characteristics, different faces. And what was one of them? You wouldn't read, you wouldn't listen. The face of a what? Lion? Face of a what? An ox or a calf. And then face of the eagle, and then the face of a man. These four here are not necessarily, they actually, quote, look like that. But it's just characteristics of them. You know, they they representing the glory and the creation of God. And they describe in here the noblest things that God created, the lion, the ox, or the calf, and man himself, as well as the eagle. And it just gives a little short verse there describing some of the noblest things that God has created. And so these are these four beings. And they cry, holy, 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 how long? Day and night. What it's talking about here is that they are the ones that lead out in worship. They're the ones that you will get the songs of singing or giving praise. And it's just as if they do it 24/7. That's their job, is to lead out in worship and everything. Do we get the sense that somehow we're missing something here? That maybe if we were there in the throne room, maybe it'll be just a little bit different. I don't know, we come to church late, and sometimes we just barely show up, or we come here, we sleep, or we texting all the time. And it just doesn't register. And during this whole time, the only thing that God is thinking about is you. Wishing that you were there in the throne with him. He has the first fruit that are there, the 24 elders that represent those redeemed that's already there. But his other thought is, where are the rest of you? And when we have church and worship, the thing is, we would just like to have everybody in harmony with God. Amen? Amen? It also talks about the sea of glass. And it's talking about a large multitude. And here it's not the redeemed from this earth that are there, as much as it is the envoy of those of the unfallen world. They're there. And you'll notice here in chapter 4, everybody is there. The Father, the Holy Spirit, the 24 elders, the envoy from all the rest of the world, the four living beasts are there. Who's missing? Jesus. He's not there. Now, we're going through these series of talks here about Revelation. And so you're going to have to either come to Wednesday night prayer meeting to get to chapter 5. Now, the pastor, he's going to be preaching, continue to go with Revelation. So he'll probably do with chapter 5, and we'll find out where he was or where he was. So that would be the continuing story here of this. But the thing is, what we want to focus on is what we're doing down here in worship. We saw it very vividly described as to what the throne room is like. We saw Isaiah describe it, and that the pillar was moving, and that the smoke filled the temple and everything, and then John describing it as brilliant and bright and everything. And yet somehow we just show up, and it's just like we're not a part of it. And we should be, amen? We really should be. Matter of fact, it's the Sabbath right now, amen? And the thing is that they're in the throne room right now. What would it be like if we all was part of it? That we showed up on time to worship, to give God the praise that he deserves, amen? We find ourselves sometimes challenged by issues and problems and different things. And then usually we want to call on him when it's the most distress. But he said, hey, I'm there for the good times too. That's, you know, he said, I want to be there all the time. But we fail to understand or to get into our minds that I come to give God praise. I come to give him worship. Matter of fact, that's why we're here today, supposedly. Or just that you didn't have nothing to do. You didn't go to the other meeting over there at Pacific Health, and you decide, just, well, I'll just come to church. It got to be more than that. It has to be more than that. And as we come and we give God the praise, how, can we make it vivid and real and be part of that? And I think we could start by rededicating ourselves, amen? That somehow we just hadn't clicked as to what we should be doing when we worship God. It's just not there. And the thing is, some are going to be lost, thinking that I had it going on, I thought I did, and God's going to say, I never knew you. Your worship was unacceptable. And that's what some of the children of Israel, they found themselves in trouble. They wandered away from his ordinance and did not keep them. And before you know it, the Lord said, I'm going to put you away in captivity for a little while till you get your act together. Sometimes it was for 400 years. Sometimes it was 700 years. And we noticed that the various 12 tribes, eventually all of them began to apostatize. All of them began to lose their way. And here we are in the last days. We're the one that he calls a royal priesthood. And yet somehow we seem to be just dragging our feet. You wonder how in the world we're going to get this done. And I think we're looking at the throne room, what's going on there, and the descriptions of the various things, the 24 elders. These are the redeemed that were bought up from when Christ came. And he took him to his father as the first fruit. And I'm quite sure, you know, he was always glad to get the first fruit, the sample of what's going on, what's going to be. And he's looking for the what? The harvest. That's us. And he's looking for us to be there. And yet we just seem to be just so, You know, I see Ezekiel when he was talking about the valley of the dry bones. And sometimes he said it's hard to preach to dry bones because there's no response sometimes. And I know you sit there, you say, well, I hear what you're saying, but nothing's moving. And I'm going to invite you today. We need our young people. They're the ones, you know, we're older and we have carried the torch. I remember when I started out and, you know, Blaze of Glory and the Pathfinders and MV and AY, back then and AY today. And we just carried them and we took young people and just went everywhere we could to expose them to the different things up into. We would leave here from church sometimes, go up to Sequoia Park, or we would take a program down to L.A. or something, trying to keep them enthused and to meet different people, meet other Adventists and everything. And but yet, if we just stay here in this little pool, we're going to miss out on something. And the thing is, we don't want to miss out on eternity. Amen? We don't want to miss out on eternity. But we need our young people. Amen? And we was talking about Christian education, how significant and important it is. And that's the group I want to invite down here this morning. I want all those young people that was up here this morning, I want them down here right now. Where are they at? That groups of people. Send those children back up here. Come on up, all of them, all of the little children. Come on up. Just right up here, just right here in the front. Amen. Let the little children do what? Yes. And this is another generation that's coming up. Amen? If we're not educating them right, if we're not teaching them right, if we're not training them, they're not going to be ready for the time when they should be leading out. Amen? But we have to. Amen. There they are. All of them. Every one of them coming down. It's so significant, so important that we have them. And so what we want to do here this morning, we want to rededicate them this morning. Amen? That they will take charge. That they will learn all that they can. And matter of fact, I'm going to invite Wesley Davis up, the Elder Davis, and he's going to pray a prayer for them, a rededication to our young people, so that we can have them ready for the time that is yet to come. Amen? And we need them. We need them trained. We need them spirit-filled. Amen?
Extending your hand out to these little children as we pray over them, as if we're laying hands to them now. Dear Kai, God, we come before you bringing your children, Father, who you've given us the opportunity to take care of, Lord, as parents, as church members. It takes a village to raise these little guys. And God, I pray right now that these little children, that they know that they're not too young to dedicate their lives to you. Amongst us, you're grooming these kids to be doctors. You're grooming these kids to be athletes. You're grooming these kids to be scholars. You're grooming these kids to be anything that they want to be. But more importantly, Father, you're grooming them to be young Christians. And when I say Christians, I don't mean the word Christian as this world uses it, but I mean true, sincere followers of you, God. You're raising young leaders here. Lord, give them courage that they may be able to stand just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Father, this is a new generation, and they're dealing with new things, Father. New temptations are out there, but give them the foundation that they need, and allow us as adults to be encouragements to them instead of discouragements, Lord. Give them peace. Give them strength as they step out into this world, Father. Bless us as parents to be able to put our children in children education, Father, so that way they may be able to get every need met those 8 hours when they're getting educated, oh God. We thank you for these children of Southside. Bless those children that were not able to walk up, and bless those children that are not here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Now, we need the adults.